Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the DGDG.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline, this Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
I mean, wild card weekend hasn't even officially kicked off, and we already got our first major upset. They got El Chapo again? Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh, no! Not El Chapo! I can just imagine that his next prison will probably have steel...
Everything.
Steel carpets... Steel floors, steel ceilings. Hard to tunnel out of his next situation. Oh, not El Chapo. As soon as I saw... Have you seen the picture of him?
Yes, I did, yeah.
No! It's
no!
No! Not El Chapo! No! What an upset. Oh, man. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. It is great to be with you. We got a Friday afternoon. Hopefully, you got a fun weekend coming up. It's wild card weekend in the NFL, and that's one of the best weekends to be glued to your couch of the entire year. By the way, you can tell we have our annual rite of passage that is the John Gruden denying any interest in an NFL coaching job. You know it. You know it's mid-January when. I mean, geez. It's like a seasonal solstice, him deciding that he is going to stay in the cushy job that is, I'm just going to talk about football. Forget all this stress. He gets paid like a football coach to not coach football. That's one of the best jobs in the world. If you don't believe me, ask Jim Tom Sula's shiny new naked upper lip. Somewhere there's a caterpillar without anywhere to sleep. The mustachio is gone. We got Warriors, we got Portland Trailblazers tonight, and I think that's a pretty exciting game. It's on the road, which means no home streak to talk about tonight. The Spurs home win streak is on the line against the New York Knicks tonight. Before you just laugh at that, by the way, the New York Knicks have already eclipsed, I believe, last season's win total. A little bit better than anyone thought. I'm not giving the Knicks a good chance in San Antonio tonight. But what we have coming up, I mean, all you got to do is look a little bit down the road, around the corner. We got Ollie Foreman of regular season games coming up. And we a lot of us thought it was going to be the rematch of the Warriors and Cavaliers on Christmas Day, a rematch of the finals. And that was a big one. That felt big without a doubt. You knew you were at the biggest sporting event in America when you were in that building. Spurs Warriors is Ollie Foreman of the NBA's regular season. I can't wait till we get to it. We've got a whole bunch of that coming up. Our buddy Rusty Simmons is going to join us in about 90 minutes from now. Rusty's coming up at 4:30. Our friend JT the Brick will be up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to him about the Raiders, their season, little off-season review, couple tweaks they need between now and next year, and where next year may be played, right in Oakland. Hopefully that's the answer. Our friend, your friend, JT the Brick joins me at 3:30. Rusty Simmons at 4:30. Giants general manager Bobby Evans comes up at 5 o'clock to talk about his latest signing of Denard Spain. Ah, just kidding. Spawn. This is going to be a problem, isn't it, Gianna?
I did it once at 3 o'clock and then I got it.
This is going to be an issue.
I know. I jinxed everyone. It is my fault.
You planted a seed of Spain in my mind.
I was looking up vacations in Spain when the news broke and it just kind of stuck with me.
There you go. Are you going to Spain?
I just made that up.
No. We're sure. All going to a galaxy far, far away at 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's a sports talk radio show. You bet your sweet bippy it is. And I wouldn't trade that topic for other topics any day of the week. But we have a major cultural event that just happened, and I feel that there is enough time between it, the event happening, and now we can all talk about it. At 6 o'clock, the Force will awaken here on this program, and we're going to talk about this new Star Wars.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. And I have a feeling there are a lot of people in the audience who can't wait. And we are going to give it up to the audience. We are going to discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought was the right directions, wrong directions for the front, everything. We're going to put it all on the table. Spoilers, be warned.
Now you know.
Spoilers, be warned.
Clearly, anyone who's into Star Wars has seen it by
you
now.
Have
I feel
to have
comfortable
seen it by now. Yes.
That we're there.
Should I give a spoiler right now? Chewbacca dies.
Stop it.
Chewbacca dies.
Chewbacca does not die, everyone.
Chewbacca, you must have gone to the bathroom. Did we see two different movies?
Yes, then we did.
At the very end? It doesn't end? Your movie didn't end with Chewbacca's huge funeral?
No. Don't joke around.
We've seen two different. You didn't stay for after the credits when they bury Chewbacca? God, what kind of fan are you?
Are you joking right now?
Of course I'm joking.
Oh, my God, I almost had a moment.
Chewie's fine. Don't you worry.
Raw.
That is the most adorable Chewbacca growl ever. Can we please cut that? I think we have our new show sound effect.
I'm not good at the Chewie growl.
Gianna's Chewbacca growl.
It was weak.
If Gianna's Chewbacca growl was in a pet shelter right now, it would be adopted immediately. That was freaking adorable. All right, so we got all that coming up at 6 o'clock.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's going to be a good show today. We are going to be very, very serious and very focused. I can promise you that. We do have some interesting links to put together between Chip Kelly, the 49ers, their real interest, and maybe the first sign of what his staff might look like. Before you go giggling at any indications that Browns offensive coordinator John DeFilippo is interviewing, before you start going giddy laughing like, of course, they bring in someone from the Browns, that's the only way this could get worse type of thing, relax. We'll explain why this could mean Chip Kelly's not too far away from being named this team's head coach. Now, I still like Hugh Jackson, but Hugh's got a football game to coach on Saturday. The real question is he coming in for sure Sunday to interview? And does Hugh Jackson look as good if he's coming in off of a playoff loss? I'll tell you this right now. If Hugh Jackson wins this game, well, Cincinnati will have just snapped a really long streak of playoff futility, and they will have done so at home with a backup quarterback. A.J. McCarron has to take out the Pittsburgh Steelers. Doesn't sound like that is too much of a chance of that happening. As a matter of fact, I think that that's the one game everyone in America is sure is going to tilt one way, which means fade the public. Watch the Bengals win that game. I'm going to pick the Steelers. Watch the Bengals win that game. Whenever you think everything, whenever it looks like America's certain of an outcome, the other thing almost always happens. Do you remember when it was announced that the football, college football world was going to a Final Four? Last year was our first example of it, and the ratings were through the roof. They were good games, and it was a triumph for the world of college football. Ohio State won over Alabama in a game that feels like everybody watched. The games that led to that game were widely consumed. People loved it. It worked for tons of reasons. Probably most of all, that it didn't try to go up against a completely we already have plans evening of the year. As a matter of fact, there is no night of the year where people have more plans than New Year's Eve. The ratings for the college football playoff semifinals were so bad, ESPN needs to give $20 million in buybacks to advertisers because of ratings that were promised and then not delivered. This is the hubris of college football, thinking that it is going to be bigger than New Year's Eve. Guess when next year's semifinal games are scheduled? New Year's Eve. And like five of the next 11, just the way the calendar's set up right now, New Year's Eve. Like push it back a week, up a week, down a week, left ways, right ways, slant ways, backwards. Forward. You can't out-compete New Year's Eve. Do you realize that every single guy spends all football season long on his couch pissing off his girlfriend or wife, and then on New Year's Eve, you got to go do something for her?
Absolutely.
Come on, football. Have some football etiquette, would you? And we will put together our lotto etiquette as Gianna, Bouton Vixen, Danny, and yours truly put together the winning $700 million Powerball buy tonight. We're going to do it.
$800
million. $800
million?
Wait until you hear the show after we're $800 million richer. That show is going to be a must listen, I can promise you. Stick around. We got a ton for you this afternoon. Our buddy JT the Brick at the bottom of the hour. You won't believe what Colin Cowherd had to say about the Warriors. That's next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
You know, it's hard to argue with someone about their opinion, even though that's basically why Twitter was invented. It's all, here's what I think about something. You're wrong! It happens all the time. I try not to shout down someone's opinion. I don't always succeed in that regard. Sometimes I'm very tough on people's opinions. People are tough on my opinions. Comes with the territory when you talk sports for a living. Colin Cowherd is great at taking the counterpoint to get you talking about how he doesn't like what's wildly popular. He's brilliant at it. It's one of the things that has made him one of the bigger voices in our industry. He is not afraid to go against the grain, and against the grain is where you're going to find an awful lot of attention. So I really thought this is why he continues to tell the world why he thinks the Warriors are a little boring. Too many threes. And I heard him say this a couple weeks ago, and I just thought, okay, well, it's so Colin to do that. While the world is going, we love the Warriors, it is very much in his business model to be one of the guys saying, not so fast. I'm not that in love with the Warriors. But today, he went at it again, and he said something that dawned on me that I really hadn't factored in before. Because I think Colin is a guy who likes and watches sports and does an awful lot of homework. Anyways, here's what he had to say on today's Colin Cowherd Show.
I said the Golden State Warriors are boring. I know they're great, but it's just a three-point shooting contest. If you go to a gym and play basketball, the last guy you ever wanted to play with is the guy that just hoists up threes all game. Basketball was meant to be played with more passing and less shooting and less... It's ball movement. Ball movement is beautiful. Magic Johnson was beautiful. He never shot threes. The most beautiful artistic players that ever played the game weren't gunners. Now, Steph Curry's remarkable at it, but he's going to create a generation of guys who are gunners. And I don't find the Warriors shooting three after three after three after three from a variety of players to be that interesting of basketball. I love the Showtime Lakers, who shot a lot of twos and did a lot of dunking on the fast break. I don't find three-point shooting in the Golden State Warriors to be that compelling. There are times I watch them and I'm bored.
Okay. I am going to suggest that that was either written for you or you're making it up. Because if you're watching the Golden State Warriors and you walk away going, you know what I think is really pretty basketball? A lot of ball movement, teamwork, and I don't see it. We're not watching the same thing. The Golden State Warriors probably are the best example of all the things you just requested more of. I'll tell you, this whole notion about all the Warriors do is shoot threes is ridiculous. And the whole point of this thing about shooting threes, no, you know what's not fun to watch? Teams that can't shoot. It's not fun to watch teams that can't shoot shoot. But a team that can shoot, the notion of these guys knocking down all these shots sure is ruining this basketball game just doesn't compute. That would be like saying, you know, I really wish there wasn't so much ice skating and hockey. You really can't have one without the other. I mean, every team in basketball is shooting. It's pretty much what the sport is. We dribble the ball to the point on the floor where we think we can score 2 points, and from there we will shoot the ball. We even get more points, 3, if it's a little further away from the basket. The whole game is shooting. You can't, here's the thing. My premise isn't that you don't like the Golden State Warriors. I figured it out. Colin Cowherd doesn't like basketball. You can't be anti-shooting and expect to like the sport of basketball. I had a buddy of mine who didn't own a car, and he would always say, man, I'm so anti-car. I'm anti-car, man. I'm anti-car. I don't need a car. I don't want a car. But he was really pro, give me a ride. And I told him once, I was like, you can't be anti-car and pro, can I have a ride? Like, it doesn't make sense. Look, complaining about the Warriors shooting too much because they're better at it than everyone just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
What he's saying is he likes college basketball. If he doesn't like shooting,
right? Is he looking for less accuracy? Would he like? I don't understand what he wants.
He just doesn't watch them. It's so clear. I mean, this is one of the best ball movement teams in the NBA. Them, the Spurs, and the Hawks.
Ever. If anything, one of the Warriors' biggest problems is their... Excuse me. When I say one of the Warriors' biggest problems, what I mean is this team's awesome. There's very little to complain about. But one of their biggest problems is they might be too unselfish at times. Like, they get a little too cutesy trying to make that extra pass, which would have definitely put it on the highlight reel. But it's insane. It's not like this is a team jacking up threes with no business to do it. They've got the business to do it. They've got the players to do it. The whole direction the game is going in says, do this. And then you get to Draymond Green. You get to Bogut. You get to Azili. You get to the way in the open court on a fast break, Andre Iguodala is attacking that rim like it just stole $20 from him. I mean, this team attacks. This team defends. This team hops into passing lanes. This team throws waves of talented players at you. And everybody's energy is up and on point at all times. You can't say the problem with the Warriors is they just shoot and they're not pretty enough. This is the prettiest thing ever.
You like the Showtime Lakers because they could defend and dunk. Well, the Warriors lead the league in dunks, and they defend at a very high level.
The only team in front of them is the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, remember, some of us on the radio are talk show hosts who are just trying to get a little attention. And this is the thing. Look, I like Colin Cowherd an awful lot. I respect the guy. We're talking about him right now, which means he did something right. But I'm going to tell you, he just proved that he's making points about something he's not watching. Like, tell me more. Please tell me more about the restaurant you haven't eaten at. Tell me more about the book you haven't read, the movie you haven't seen. To say, I don't like the Warriors because I'm a big fan of ball movement and there's not enough there. Like, you just disqualified yourself from all future Warrior analysis. So from now on, we will continue to say Cowherd is a really interesting guy. But when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, there's nothing to hear. Adam in San Jose. How are you, Adam?
Hey, great. Thanks. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, he doesn't pay attention because the Warriors, I think, have one of the highest assist percentages in the game right now. And Curry and the guys shooting threes, they have one of the highest percentage threes. It's not like they're just shooting them up and missing every single time, too. So, yeah, it's pretty sad.
Right. I mean, look, no one wants to watch a bricklayer convention. Nobody wants to watch guys just shoot terribly. But that's not what you get here. And when Curry hits 3, 4, 5 in a row, the building excitement on every shot is better than any breakaway dunk you're ever going to get. So, like, I'm a big fan of Colin Cowherd, but you're not watching the Golden State Warriors. Why don't you stop telling us what you don't like? Let me tell you what I do like. I love talking sports with JT the Brick. He is one of the best. We're going to talk about the Raiders, the season he just had. What did he think about the year? All things considered, good year, bad year. Does he like the direction the team is pointed in? And, oh, that's including the direction of Los Angeles or maybe staying right here after all. All that's coming up next with JT the Brick, coming up on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's great to have you here on a Friday afternoon, and it's always great to stop on by and chat with my good friend, your good friend, JT the Brick from Fox Sports Radio. By the way, we are now a Fox Sports Radio affiliate, which means we can play like as often as we want now. This is fantastic. How are you, buddy?
Great. Happy New Year, and excited about that. You guys are doing a great job, and our network's better off for it in San Francisco and the Bay Area. We're thrilled about it.
Let me tell you, brother, we got an awful lot to get to. We'll talk about relocation. We're going to talk about some playoff football here, Niner coaching search, and we'll even get to the Golden State Warriors. But let's start with what we just saw from the Raiders, and disappointing they weren't able to get to 8-8. With the game in Kansas City, the Chiefs were still playing for playoff positioning, and they were too much for the Raiders in that game. What'd you think of the year as a whole? And then let's get to Del Rio, and then we'll get to players.
Great. I very similar to Jack Del Rio. I think this year at the end ended up being disappointing, even though the Raiders took so many strides this year. Most importantly, with personnel and the development of Pro Bowl players and young stars like Khalil Mack today and that unbelievable milestone, being the first player to be an All-Pro at two positions, Carr with 32 touchdowns, Amari Cooper, who should be the Rookie of the Year, I believe. So many good things happened, but in the second half of the year, especially with home games not being 500 at home and the opportunity to get past the first quarter of the season into the halfway point as a team people thought could make a run at the playoffs and then they fell backwards, that was a disappointment to Jack Del Rio. And what I love about Coach Del Rio is he's never happy in those losing press conferences. He always makes it clear that he sets his expectations high. And as you know, from training camp in Napa through the first quarter of the season, Jack Del Rio expected this team to be a really good team and compete for the playoffs. And when you're a Raider fan or you work for the Raiders or you're a player on the team, it's unacceptable on all counts not to make the playoffs, let alone to compete for a championship. So that is a disappointment for the Raiders, but I like how some of the players are developing into stars.
Right. You can't be lost for more than a decade and then come right back and say, we have the right to a playoff berth. It is a growth. It is a stepping process. And I think they took important steps this year. Next year is officially, let's see you in the postseason time. And then 2017, I think, comes with postseason plus postseason expectations. But we'll worry about that. What'd you think of Derek Carr in year two? And why do you think so many fans still have a jury out on him?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I think the Raiders are really fortunate to have Carr. He's one of the premier young quarterbacks in all of football. He's a franchise quarterback with 32 touchdowns. I expect that number to grow like Drew Brees and get into the 40s and stay there for the prime of his career. And 13 interceptions, again, a couple of them were really bad the second half of the year. But I am thrilled about the future of Carr. Think of this, Damon. Every team that goes into free agency, and no team has the money that the Raiders Raiders have available in free agency. When we talk about it, it's always about who's going to be at the quarterback you're looking for or the pass rusher. The Raiders don't need that. I can't remember a time since the Raiders, even before they went to the Super Bowl, where they go into free agency and they don't need a quarterback, three wide receivers, and in regards to Latavius Murray, I expect more out of him, but they have a 1,000-yard back, and with Wofford, they have a tight end that they don't have to get another tight end. How many teams in football can say that? The Raiders are one of the few. Problem is the Raiders have a tremendous amount of holes on the back end of their secondary. They got to upgrade the offensive line again. They need two linebackers. So there's a lot of work to be done, but Carr is the leader of the Raider Nation. He is the future of the Silver and Black. He is capable of sweeping Phillip Rivers, going into Denver and winning at a very young age. He is a massive asset for Oakland and the Raiders going forward.
Easy to see Amari Cooper and how good he was. A little disappointing that he hit that rookie wall. I also think he was dealing with a foot injury that never was really, I think the scope of it or the seriousness of it was understood. I think it affected how he played. He needs to become more physical. Guy needs to get stronger in the offseason. There's no doubt his instincts are incredible. I think the least talked about outstanding rookie year, not just on the Raiders, maybe throughout the NFL, Mario Edwards Jr., who unfortunately had a serious neck injury at the end of the season. This guy was right in the middle of unlocking that outstanding month, 6-week stretch from Khalil Mack.
Yeah, and that's why the Raiders drafted him, and along with Mack, and the way that the Raiders were able to stop the run with Jelly Ellis up front. When everybody was healthy and Alden Smith was playing well and starting to get his legs, the Raider defensive line was the strength of that team. Problem was, what happens is if they don't get a unique pass rush and Mack doesn't go off in multiple games, the back end, even with Woodson with 5 interceptions going to the Pro Bowl, deservingly so, the Raiders gave up a lot of big plays, and the Raiders have to go after personnel. I believe, Damon, they need at least 2 starting corners, a starting safety, and 2 or 3 backups in the secondary who are good enough to play anywhere else. Reggie McKenzie's got the money. Mark Davis puts his foot on the pedal. He never backs off in going out and getting players. But I think the big question moving forward is, with Reggie in the draft, where they got to nail the first 2 picks again, got to nail it, and then in free agency, it's no longer begging people or asking people to come out for a visit and look at Oakland. There should be a line of players who want to come here because of the Raiders' cap room and some of the players that they have in the coaching staff, and the Raiders can tie up free agency sooner than expected and really rebuild that defense.
The one and only JT the Brick here on 95.7 The Game. Let's talk relocation or not, because all of a sudden, for the first time, I'm starting to think that the Raiders are the bride left at the altar. And, you know, here's the thing. If they're not chosen to go to L.A., it'll be some sort of, we don't trust you, we don't trust Mark, we are screwing over the ghost of Al Davis one last time. I don't care. Whatever keeps the Raiders in Oakland, I want that to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think it comes down to the vote. I have nothing new on this. I've said this all year on your show. It comes down to a vote, and I don't think any of the owners have enough votes, the 3 that are looking to move. Again, to recap this, Stan Kroenke is a multi-billionaire just on his side, let alone his wife's money, which is bigger than his. He can do whatever he wants. I think he'll end up going because he has the ability to pour the concrete and build the stadium, and they're going to be able to do it, and he'll break the rules to do it. He wrote a awful letter to the fans of St. Louis.
Yeah, he did.
and I think they want to bring him there. And then San Diego, looked like San Diego was shaking hands with Mark Davis looking to do that deal in Carson. Will San Diego stay in that original agreement, or will they run over to St. Louis thinking it's a better deal? But I think it's going to be tough for any of the ownership groups to even get the votes that they need.
Chip Kelly to the 49ers. I think it's getting closer to happening. I think Hugh Jackson is a guy I would definitely want to talk to before I made any final decisions. But I bet you this shakes out with either Hugh Jackson or Chip Kelly, and Chip Kelly might be the clubhouse leader right now.
Well, if you want Chip Kelly, the Chip Kelly deal should have been done yesterday. How, if you like Chip Kelly, would you wait 12 or 24 hours if you believe that with a new opportunity and a new team, he could come off the ground and be a great coach? A lot of people thought he could be a really great coach, not good coach in this league. You don't give him personnel, obviously. Why isn't that deal done already? And with all the other jobs that are open, with all due respect to San Francisco, with the flux of that organization and the lack of communication from ownership down down through real ownership, through Jed York and Balky. Who wants to go there and be the coach? They don't know what the future looks like, and there's some big names out there. Tom Coughlin has been a fantastic coach, a two-time Super Bowl. People think, oh, maybe he wants to stay closer on the East Coast. Why wouldn't he be interested in? That is a great job of the past. Who wants to get into San Francisco now and rebuild towards the future? That's a very difficult job, and as we've talked about, you got to figure out the quarterback situation before you even go in there, and then you need to combine 10 to 15 players on both sides of the ball to be a playoff team.
Can we talk a little wild card weekend? Is there a game that you like? Is there a game that you're nervous about? I'll tell you, the Seahawks are going to beat the Vikings. I'm not worried about that. I think the Steelers beat the Bengals, and I think Kansas City wins because the quarterback play is just better from Alex Smith even. Packers, Redskins. Everybody loves Kirk Cousins, and I know Aaron Rodgers isn't who he used to be. I like the Packers in that game, too. I see nothing but road wins. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar to you. I definitely think Green Bay should win that game, and Aaron Rodgers needs to step up and have a great game, not a good game. He has to have one of those games where he carries the franchise and plays an elite game. But the game I differ on, I think Cincinnati, even without Andy Dalton, now with McCarron, who's proven that he could play at a level when we saw Osweiler come in for Manning, that McCarron can play in this league. I think Cincinnati's defense and their personnel and the fact that Pittsburgh is decimated at the running back position, Big Ben's great, but I think that Cincinnati defense wins a really close game, maybe an overtime game at home. And I agree with you on Kansas City, not only at the quarterback position, but I just think they're better personnel-wise on both sides of the ball. What a year for the Kansas City Chiefs. I buried them. I buried them 6 feet under. They were 1-5 without Jamaal Charles. And getting back to what we originally talked about, before you talk about Raiders' playoff expectations next year, remember, Kansas City started off 1-5, and they're getting Jamaal Charles back. All teams are going to improve. All teams work to improve. Kansas City looks really good coming into the playoffs, and I know every Raider fan would love to see them get their butts beat quick and knocked out, because if you get to the playoffs and don't win a playoff game, does it matter? You still got a goose egg for playoff wins in quite some time.
Let's talk a little basketball. We don't get to basketball enough, and I know you love some hoops, man.
Yeah.
This Warriors team is lighting the world on fire, and because the rule is no one pays attention to San Antonio, no one's paying attention to San Antonio, and you should, because there's only, look, there's an Ali and there's a Foreman, and that's it. Your NBA champion will be the San Antonio Spurs or the Golden State Warriors. There are two teams that are unlike each other. Everyone else is playing for third place.
Yeah, well, first off, whoever beats LeBron James, I'm happy with. But I give the Warriors the edge, of course, and over the years I've been right picking San Antonio winning championships. The Warriors are just too stacked. They're too loaded. Their elite starting five is better than the Spurs, and their depth is as good as the strength of San Antonio, and San Antonio's strength is their bench, and the Warriors play tougher defense than San Antonio. Look, it's going to come down to these two teams for another year or two as the Spurs are aging out of these championship runs. But the Warriors have a lead this year. They have an edge on them. I think they have an advantage with Curry as the MVP. But they don't have a coaching advantage. I'm wondering what happens when Steve Kerr comes back. And from what I'm hearing, and this is real stuff out of San Antonio, Pop is all in on the Warriors. Those game plans are going in now. He's coaching practices and games like he's ready for the Warriors. They're looking for individual matchups against bad teams throughout the regular season that will help prepare him for the upcoming playoff run against Golden State. It could be a classic war this year, but the Warriors should get through and go back to back.
I think it's going to be impossible to beat them seven in a row, or take four out of seven against them. I really do. Always good to talk to you, man. How about the three turkeys who didn't vote for Griffey Jr.? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was a fun. I had the president of the Hall of Fame on last night about Griffey and Piazza getting in. And, hopefully, I always said this, I believe Barry Bonds broke the rules more than anybody because he had the most to gain. It was Balco and the home run record. I keep the steroid guys out of the Hall of Fame, and I never let them in. But, wow, Piazza could be the bridge guy now to get the votes up for Bagwell, Clemens, and Bonds there in San Francisco. Maybe I shouldn't have shut the door so quickly.
I know. I'm telling you. How can you have a Hall of Fame without the best pitcher and the best hitter in it? Seriously. Good to talk to you, as always. I know. We don't have another hour. I know we can keep
going. Take care, buddy.
You're the best. JT the Brick, always good. I could talk sports with. The only thing I like talking more than sports with him, just arguing with him. Oh, I love it. He's the best. When we come on back, we can talk or argue with you if you like at 888-957-9570. Rusty Simmons at 4:30 with much more on the Warriors. When we come on back, Tim Kawakami says an NFL source is named a clear front runner for the 49er job. We'll let you know who it is next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Damon. The whole show should just be you and JT. Another guy here says, Damon, can you do an entire hour with JT, no commercials, no filter, the day after you, Gianna, Bouton, Vixen, and Danny win the Powerball?
He'd be a perfect guest to, for that day, for sure.
Let me tell you who's going to be on that show. It's going to be the four of us. We're going to be on remote from the champagne room at the Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas. We're going to have JT the Brick on. We're going to fly in Bob Barker because I love Bob Barker.
Why
from
not?
The Price is Right, and I'll be able to get that done. We're going to fly in Bob Barker. We're going to play Plinko, but we're not going to use Plinko chips. We're going to use nipple covers.
Oh, God.
It's going to be awesome.
This party seems very, very much for you.
Well, we're all celebrating together. Falcon can be there. Have fr- yeah.
Yes, because
yeah.
I want him in the, yeah. Pete's in the Spearmint
coming.
Rhino.
Every, oh, come on. Falcon's totally coming to Spearmint Rhino the day
we
all win big.
Perfect.
We're flying in Tony Bruno for sure. We're bringing in El Chapo, who is now available again. Absolutely.
We'll take him a hole so he feels comfortable.
Be like, hey, El Chapo, do you want to go ahead and tip this bottle service tonight or should we pick it up?
No!
Luckily, we all just hit Powerball and we got it. That's awesome. We'll fly in Don. We'll fly in Don, the Canadian program director. We'll cover him in maple syrup and maple leaves. We'll dunk him in a big vat of poutine. Oh, it's going to be a hell of a... Oh, it's going to be the best show ever.
What are we going to do with the passport building?
Oh,
you know
can
what?
Can you say that on the air?
No, we're going to have no hard feelings because we're going to take those passports that we now all have and we're just going to, dude, we're just going to travel. We're going to do it. Hi, we don't even know what day of the week it is and we think we're in Kuala Lumpur. Tonight the Warriors got the Blazers. Meanwhile, we're across the international timeline. That game was a day ago.
We'll be ISDNing from some awesome airplane in the sky.
We can actually afford an ISDN line. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Anywhere. That would be incredible.
I want to bring this texter. He's bringing us good luck. I like it. And he remembered all four of our names.
Do you feel good about that? Four names to remember. It's not that big.
He forgot.
Look at him. He runs like a Welshman, doesn't he? Doesn't he run like a Welshman?
We're bringing the Welshman.
We have to.
Dude, we're going to cover the Welshman in gravy and just throw him into the champagne room and see what happens.
God.
Look at him. He's like, okay. All right, so we were just talking with JT the Brick, and he said, why, oh, why would the... Oh, yes, we're totally bringing Jaime Moreno. Are you kidding me? Jaime Moreno is in the champagne room at the Spearmint Rhino.
Es la 95.7. Damos San Bruce Show. Escúchalos. Son los número uno.
That goes without saying.
Absolutely.
Jaime's there. So...
Don't give me no lines and keep your...
Bruno's there. Absolutely.
This is one party.
It's going to be incredible. Yes, we'll fly in the official brother. The official brother comes in. There's no doubt. That would be incredible.
Oh, how could we forget? How could we forget Quackers?
There's no doubt there's no doubt who's going to cocaine overdose first. It's going to be Quackers. Dude, he's going to look like his bill. Like, is he just going to be white powder all over his bill?
Oh, my God.
And he's gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We'll do an exclusive champagne room interview with Bobby Football. We'll all wear pink. We'll all wear blonde mustaches and wigs.
Billy.
And Browns jersey. Billy. Thank you. Yeah, Billy. Bobby. Yeah. All right.
Please don't hold it against the ladies.
No, he's not coming.
He's not coming, but the ladies are coming.
Yes. Oh, the ladies.
Oh,
we'll do. I'll tell you what. We'll bring in Miss Columbia. It's going to be great. So anyways, can I get to the actual piece of news here? Sports, remember? Here we go. JT the Brick asks, if Chip Kelly is your guy, why didn't you sign him yesterday? There are a lot of jobs opening. There is no doubt that other teams are going to be interested in it. Well, we might have a little bit more clarity here. Tim Kawakami tweeted that according to an NFL source, Hugh Jackson is the clear front runner for the 49ers job pending his interview on Sunday. Now, he can't officially be hired until the Bengals are out and they play on Saturday. So when that game is over, the York Force One or whatever the Niners private plane is or whatever they're going to charter will probably be warmed up and on the tarmac in Cincinnati within an hour or two of winning or losing that playoff game. Hugh Jackson will be flown here to the Bay Area. He'll interview, and the Niners will probably make their choice then. If you don't hear anything, that means one of two things. The Bengals won, and they still can't make the announcement that they've hired him. Or that it's after taking a closer look, they might go back to Chip Kelly. What we've heard is that they've talked to Chip Kelly, and it went very well. The meeting was positive. The meeting was well-received in both directions. So, there you go. Look, I think Hugh Jackson, how about this? I don't think I could make this any clearer. If it were up to me to make the hire, I'm hiring Hugh Jackson. If they don't hire Hugh Jackson and they get Chip Kelly, I still think that that's pretty interesting. And I think that there is a lot that can be worked in there. I could see that really working. I could see it failing too. There's no sure thing. There is no sure thing. It's a crazy league. It's a volatile sport. But I would, if it were up to me to put together the wish list, it would be Hugh Jackson 1, Chip Kelly 2. So we'll see. I wouldn't hire Chip Kelly right now. I would want to talk to Hugh Jackson. That's why they did not just say, Hugh, we love you. You got to talk to Hugh Jackson to see if you like him more, to see if he says things that, you know, Kelly didn't bother getting to. Look, I mean, Chip Kelly is a stubborn guy. Can they work with a guy who is incredibly stubborn? He is someone who, let me just, you tell me if this sounds familiar. A headstrong coach who's probably going to butt heads with the GM over personnel, who is set in his ways, and who is loyal to his guys to a fault. Does that sound familiar to any 49er fan? Do any of you think you've heard of a coach like that around these parts before? The headstrong coach who isn't going to budge off the way that he plays or his own staff? I don't know.
You're talking about Jim Tomsula.
Clearly. I'm actually just talking about his mustache.
Just the mustache.
So, what we've got next hour is a conversation with Rusty Simmons. That's going to happen at 4:30. It's going to be all over the Warriors and this Trailblazers game tonight. A little news coming out of San Diego from a San Diego supervisor who is warning the Chargers or Charger fans that the Chargers have been known to look in another direction. And that could be good news for the Raiders. We'll share with you this letter next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.